We are suspicious of our bodies and of emotions that may surface if we stray from our word-filled form. In our Anabaptist tradition, coming out of the Protestant Reformation, Anabaptists rejected the hierarchical structure where the purpose of ritual had kind of morphed into a encouraging obedience. And so we pretty much threw the baby out with the bathwater. When I start thinking about a topic, I always go, I'm pretty sure I need a book. Well, I got one. And there is way more philosophically about ritual than I ever imagined. And of course, as usual, I was way out of my depth to talk about this. So this is a pretty rudimentary approach to ritual. But I will be using some definitions and thoughts from the book, Understanding the Liberating Rites by Tom F. Driver. So maybe here's a good spot to define what the word ritual means, and this will be our working definition for the morning. A ritual is the participation of one's whole being, not just your brain, one's whole being in an already known, richly symbolic pattern of behavior. Ritual has a form, but it is also a process. It develops and changes as we change. It is work in that it has a meaningful purpose for happening, but it also includes an element of play. Language or logic alone cannot create meaning. Something outside of us, alongside of us, invites us to play while we figure out what we mean and if it has any meaning at all. Ritual includes both performance and work because it consists of both showing and doing. The performance can be a showing not only to others, not only like for baptism up here, they're telling you about their commitment, but also a showing to themselves and to God. When ritual is artful and playful, rituals can bear more meaning than words can actually say. Rituals forge a link between our bodily activity and symbol making. However, the action is the primary part of ritual, and the symbolism is subordinate. So we're going to deal with the bugaboos first. I thought of two of them. One, ritual is rote and dry. Well, when it becomes static and nothing can change, ritual loses touch with the actuality of people's lives. It loses its meaning and ends up only as a hypocritical performance. We see this in the scripture. Judaism had no lack of rituals. The scriptures give detailed descriptions of rituals for ordination of the priests in Exodus 29, or the observance of the Passover in Exodus 12, or the plethora of offerings, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the grain offerings, the well-being offerings. I mean, there's a lot of them. In Leviticus 1 through 4. Yet by the time of the prophets, they were prophesying against the hypocritical performance of these rituals. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of them, bearing them, God says in Isaiah. The rituals have been disconnected from the reality of the people's lives. And just to say, it's pretty bad to bore God, I think. Secondly, the second caution is the ability to harm or to abuse, especially when mob mentality, unrestrained power, or misdirected emotion leads to violence. A picture of ritual abuse is during the showdown between the prophets of Baal and Elijah on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. So the prophets of Baal took the bowl that was given it and prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us." And they limped about the altar that they had made, but there was no voice and no answer. And after Elijah mocked the lack of response from Baal, then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. It must have been a gruesome spectacle. and ultimately meaningless. Yet the role of ritual to do good and to add meaning to our lives is indispensable. And here are some of the ways that I have found them meaningful for me. Participating in a ritual is to make oneself present while invoking the presence of the God, in our case, for Christians, the Lord God Almighty, Creator, Savior, the presence of a God, person, force, or circumstance it is necessary for us to confront. It helps us face reality by making it real. Sometimes it is too hard to approach something that we need to cognitively face, but we can approach it with our body in a ritual. A funeral is a ritual that serves this kind of purpose. Or it can be the need to mark some other kind of release or a dramatic change. Coming of age rituals among many peoples around the world mark the change in identity, accompanied often by a new name. This morning, Charlotte, Jonah, and Carolyn were baptized. There is multiple symbolism in baptism, but we generally understand that the washing of water symbolizes the repentance and forgiveness of sin and raising from the water to a new life, a new identity in Christ. And not only does it mark a new identity, but also a new belonging in the family of God, a member of the community that makes up the body of Christ. With the use of a ritual to display these realities, we participate, this is like gobbledygook here, we participate in destructuring of societal status. Ritual order has structure, but it often emphasizes equality and anonymity in contrast to the stratification and name-conscious intelligence that society perpetuates. Ritual promotes commonality. Societal order emphasizes difference and separateness. And likewise in communion and foot washing, all who confess Jesus as Savior and Lord are welcome at the table. You can participate. You belong. Secondly, ritual helps us remember. As we engage our bodies in ritual, the memory of God's deliverance, say the Passover for the Jews, for us, communion, for Christians, that memory is woven into the fiber of our muscle memory as well as our minds by recreating the actions that heralded God's deliverance. I'm not super familiar with Catholicism, but I've been in Catholic churches where they have this large basin of water at the entrance of the sanctuary, and I've been told that one uses the water to make the sign of the cross with the intention to remember your baptism. Since they are baptized as infants, they can't remember it with their minds. But that action is valuable for them to remember with their bodies what their mind can't. And I think it could be valuable even if my mind does remember my baptism. And lastly, ritual has the ability to transform. And here's where I think things get exciting. Here is where our desire for change for ourselves, for our community, and for our world intersects with the mystery of spiritual realities. For example, pouring water on someone's head doesn't create a change except from dry hair to wet hair, but the desire that the person brings in being baptized into a new life means that they're bringing their desire and their commitment to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit to effect the process of change into Christ-likeness. And that is transformation. With this encountering and enacting, we touch mystery. And as Joe read in Romans 6:3, when Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Did you just get that? That is like layered, like it's easy kind of read that and not understand it. It takes a lifetime to grow into the understanding of the reality of what it means to die with Christ and how to walk in that newness of life. But the ritual acts out what we do not yet understand fully with our minds. With the Last Supper, we eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of Jesus' death. We wash one another's feet as we copy the humility of Jesus, God himself, who washed our feet. Entering into the ritual grounds that mystery of Christ's self-giving death unto death in us. Here we remember and present ourselves in the presence of God, the Holy One of mystery and blazing love. And that is what makes ritual so powerful and, if we're honest, kind of scary. For we experience trepidation at being present in the presence of the Holy. So here's a few things to muse upon. I have some questions for you. Ritual cannot be set in stone, but is dynamic. Are we willing to incorporate the creativity of play in ritual? And I'm going to give you one little example. I have washed feet for many years in many churches, many Mennonite churches. I have one time that sticks out in my head so much, and that is when I was a teenager, and I was at Menno Haven for high school camp, and at the end of the week, we had communion on the hillside by the lake. And after we passed the bread and the cup, we were to wash one another's feet. And this involved the person whose feet were being washed getting to sit on the pier. But when you wash the feet, we were up to our waist, washing people's feet in the water. And we weren't in our swimsuits, we were in our clothes. And that experience of washing feet in that way brought home to me the inconvenience that we can experience in service, the wholesale involvement that it may require of us, and the unexpected blessing. Secondly, if ritual cultivates both our identity and belonging within community, would small rituals be a benefit for us, even if only for a season? Apostolic Christians greet one another with a kiss. Well, women to women and men to men. I'm not advocating for that particular ritual, but I'm just saying that kind of grounds their identity as a community and who they are in the community. Thirdly, how could personal rituals allow you and your family to give expression to your desires for ever greater justice, peace, and freedom in your relationships with one another and the world around you? How could we use ritual in our church body to express our desires for greater peace, justice, and freedom, especially in the light of our current national climate? May God grant us grace and courage to do the work of ritual with creative play, open to the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.